Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with my co-host, religious demonologist Adam Bly, and definitely you today. And you're already calling in. We asked you to call in early for this open forum for August, and you're already starting to call. But Adam, oh, wow, we've got a lot of participation today already starting the show, so we're just going to hit the phones after you start us off in prayer with the wonderful and that we lean on Saint Michael so very much. So with this beautiful Saint Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. With the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I have to tell you, Adam, for the open forum for August, it caught me by surprise. I mean, we started the show. It was so exciting. We waved to everybody on social media. Hi, you guys on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, and Twitch. And with the show team's in place with our senior producer, Tim Mott. We've got Anna and Carol already on the phones. It was such a wonderful surprise to start the show and see the phone lines just light up. I mean, I've never really seen that before. So that is really beautiful. You guys love this open forum, and we do as well. We're going right to the phones. So if you'd like to join those callers coming in right now, Tim Mott will happily bring them up on air with us in just a moment. Here is the number. It's our open forum for August. You can ask questions about angels, demons, anything in between. We are here to really answer and to help you along on this faith journey and have the most confident spiritual life. Okay, come on, you guys. Let's get excited about this beautiful day we get to spend, this beautiful hour, but we're so blessed to have Catholic Radio. So let's really make a good use of this time at 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. We are live today. This is your show, and this is the spirit world, and you count on it every single Saturday. Now I'm so fired up. This is exciting. You ready to go to the calls, Adam? Adam,
absolutely.
Let me first ask you this. How was the exorcism work yesterday that you do every Friday? Everything good?
Very good. So we have two new guys that we're training, and they're just getting started. So it was a really good learning day, and it was a good day for them to start to kind of build their confidence and see the authority of the church, the authority of the priesthood when the bishop, you know, gives permission for the rite to be used. The enemy, of course, always tries to scare you off when you first start in this work, but it was neat. Our guys are already gaining confidence, and the demon actually said in consternation, they're not afraid of me, they're not afraid of me.
Wow. That's powerful. And thank you for sharing with us the work that you do every single Friday. We appreciate it very much. It's important information for us, especially as we want to build our confidence as we walk along this wonderful faith, spiritual path. And it's a good thing. So thank you for that. Adam, we're going to go to Champaign, Illinois first. Tim, who's our first caller?
We've got Joey listening on Catholic Spirit Radio there in Illinois. Joey, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Joey.
Oh,
welcome.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Adam. you know me, Joey, originally from the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah. How are you? It's good to hear your voice.
Great. It's a pleasure. So Adam had said that when you say the rosary, it's a great deliverance prayer, which I completely agree with, and Mary really gets to them. And Father Chad Ripperger, he had said the Litany of Our Lady is an effective prayer. So now, you know, I sing Hail Mary during the day, Hail Mary, full of grace, I sing it out loud, and I say the Litany of Our Lady. Mm-hmm. But here's my question. I'll set it up. So Father Chad, in his book, wrote that if you do the deliverance prayer without proper authority or in the wrong way, the other guys, you know who I'm talking about, will retaliate. that's the word, retaliate. And he used it several times. I can't worry about retaliation. Aren't they trying their hardest to get all of us all the time? If I do something that gets to them, I'm going to do it more. So what does Adam think about this idea of if you say a deliverance prayer with improper authority, like if you say it to someone who's not your child or not your spouse, that you're going to get retaliation? Adam, what do you make of that?
Okay, Joey, so great question. And this one comes up on a regular basis. Lots of people are confused about this. So here's the Cliff's Notes version on this. When we say deprecatory prayers, intercessory prayers, Mary, please help this person. Jesus, please help this person. God, please help this person. Absolutely no problem. We're asking basically, heavenly figures, the saints, to intercede and do something to help a person, including, that is being troubled maybe by extraordinary demonic stuff. That's always fine. We're supposed to pray for each other. When you say, Joey, it's very rare to be in the room with a possessed person with a demon manifesting, but let's say you were there and you didn't have the bishop's backing to use the solemn rite of exorcism, assuming you're a priest, right? You have to be a priest with permission from the bishop to do it. And we have seen this, Joey, many times. If somebody inadvertently gives the demon a direct order, that's different than saying, Jesus, please help them, Mary, please help them. Instead, it's in the name of Jesus, go over there and sit down, or in the name of Jesus, leave this person alone. Now I've given a challenge, a direct order to a fallen angel. What's the authority behind that order? Yes, I have my baptismal priesthood, but that's not an ordained priesthood. And I don't have the bishop's backing behind me either, which would carry the weight of the church's prayer. So now I've basically challenged, by giving a direct command, I've challenged it. Imagine if you were like out socializing and you wanted to use somebody's table and you walked up and said, hey, get out of these chairs, I'm taking this table. You have consented to them saying like, hey, buzz off, or, I'm going to call the maitre d', or, I'm going to call the police, you're threatening me. You have consented to a fight on some level. And if you walk up to a stranger on the subway or the bus and you shove them, you have consented to them shoving back because you started it. So the place that you can get into retaliation is when you overstep your authority and give a direct command. That's called an imprecatory prayer. Don't worry about it. Fancy word for a command. That's what we want to avoid, because that can lead to retaliation, because you have opened the door to retaliation by challenging them. So here's the way to stay safe, Joey. Real simple. Pray for people. Pray to God. Pray to Jesus. Pray to Mary. Pray to the saints for the person. But don't give direct commands to demons. You're fine. And if you're thinking like, no, I want to give direct commands to demons, remember that in the end, Jesus is the only real exorcist. It's him through his church that is doing all of this. So let's leave Jesus at the center of the prayer. We give honor and credit to Jesus for what's going on by asking him to do it. Mm-hmm. Does that help, Joey?
That is a great explanation. But let me ask you a question. Let's say it's not a case of possession and someone just says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave this place immediately. It's not leaving a person, it's just leaving a place.
Well, if you were in a place that truly had a demonic infestation going on, it's the same thing. It's just not in a body, so it can't punch you or bite you like they try to do with us all the time, but you're still challenging it. Now, if you're in a place, you're in a place and there's no, disembodied, fallen angel there, and you said that, well, nothing's going to happen because, the room's empty. Spiritually, it's empty. So again, let's pray and ask God to do it. That keeps us safe, and it avoids all this worrying about whether there could be retaliation.
Okay, before we let Joey go, because I know we're going to hit the pause button in a moment, but Joey brings up a lot of interesting aspects to this, Adam, because I have seen quite a few podcasts recently saying to go ahead and use that authority and command, these spirits, these things, you know, out of the way that are negative. So once you do, once you step into that, you are opening yourself up to some kind of retaliation or some kind of conflict with them. Is that mm-hmm. what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You are potentially opening yourself up to that because you have challenged them to a struggle of wills.
A struggle of wills. Okay. So that's very, see what Joey says, I think is very important because this, that's been circulating a lot. Are you picking that up too, Joey? Because I've been seeing it a lot on social media, saying all these commanding prayers to get all this negative stuff away from us. Are you seeing that too, Joey?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And you know, Joey, to give one more bit of insight, when we're training priests, and they're new, and they're sitting in for the first time at a solemn exorcism with a truly possessed person. Mm-hmm. They don't have permission from the bishop to do exorcisms. They're there to watch and learn. The demon right. will very specifically single them out at the beginning of the session, before things start, and say, I have to listen to him, and I have to listen to him, pointing to the priests that have permission. And he'll turn to that priest and say, but you have no authority over me. I'm not going to do anything that you say because wow. their pride is so big. Mm-hmm. And they will then proceed to demonstrate that, Joey, by ignoring that person. If that person tried to give them commands, they will reiterate, you don't have authority over me, and they won't listen. But if the exorcist says, sit down and shut up till I tell you to talk in the name of Jesus, they sit down and they close their mouth. Mm. So the authority is crystal clear in the context of exorcism. And so when I share that, you know, outside of that backing, that priest with the backing of the church, meaning the bishop, mm-hmm. we don't have the power to command them to do exactly what we want them to do.
Wow, Joey, you opened up a lot of interesting angles to this. In fact, I just made notes as you and Adam were exchanging this conversation. We need to do a whole show on this. This is very important because a lot of things are being communicated out there on social media. Joey, thank you so much, and thanks for checking in with us from Champaign, Illinois, on our friends at Catholic Spirit Radio. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get to Valerie and the others, and you can join them at 877-757-9424. This is our August open forum. Anything you want to bring to the table, we will talk about. 877-757-9424. Please don't wait till the end of the show. This hour goes very quickly, and we'll be right back.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, this is our August open forum, and we're asking you to call in at 877-757-9424. And Adam, please wave again to everybody in the chats going on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, and Twitch. We are getting comments coming in, Adam, so I want to clear up any misunderstanding because it's probably going to be a few weeks before we can actually dedicate a whole episode to what you just shared with Joey. But a couple things. First, I want to ask you, Adam, to maybe let all our listeners know who Father Chad Ripinger is, what he does, and also this idea of we had some non-Catholics call in and say that they were taught at their church to cast out the demons and to command them. So they're very concerned about what they should do now going forward. So maybe you could just give us a little like prescription there and a little thing that we can follow, and then also share a little bit about Father Chad Ripinger.
Okay. So Father Chad Ripinger, he's a Catholic exorcist who has considerable experience, and he's done lots and lots of research. I would say he has lots of experience at this point. But, you know, all of us here in the States, it's all relative. So Father Amorth, he did this for 40 years, basically 8 hours a day. There's other guys over there that have a ton more experience than we do here in the States. But, you know, Father Chad, I don't know how many years. I would imagine he's at 20-plus years of experience.
He's very well-respected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's seen plenty. He's seen things play out. Okay, so when we're talking... And I'm sorry, Deb, but with these things, there's not time on radio to unpack every aspect
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
When we're talking about the authority to give commands, it's super clear at a solemn exorcism, there's a demon in a body, and this person came in for help. And if there's a priest there that doesn't have permission from the bishop to use the rite of exorcism, the demon will ignore them. If they give commands, they will trash talk them and they will not obey them. The priest that does have permission from the bishop, which carries the bishop's authority, the demon will listen to. Okay, so that's crystal clear. And we see that time after time, consistently, mm-hmm. year after year, been at somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 exorcisms. That's crystal clear. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about, let's say I'm being attacked, me personally, right, as an individual, let's say I'm being held against the wall by some invisible force. I'm home alone. Something attacked me. It's holding me against the wall. I'm allowed to say, in the name of Jesus, get off me.
Okay, because, say that again. In the name of Jesus, get off of me.
Yeah,
okay.
Or something along those lines.
Okay.
Because I have full authority over my body, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have full authority there, I have full authority about what goes on inside my body. Now, demons don't have any physicality, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Also, parents of children below the age of reason, which is basically 7 years old, basically when they start making choices for themselves that they're culpable for, meaning they're responsible for, before God, if it's a little child and you're the parent, you have authority to say, in the name of Jesus, leave my child alone or get away from my child, because you have that special authority given to you by God as a parent. Mm-hmm. All right, so those are basically the two places that you can do that, where you have full authority of that body, either my own or my child that's younger than seven. Now, if it's another adult who's coming in for prayer and the demon's in that body, I don't have full authority over that body. Okay. They have come to the church, right, the church. They've come to the Catholic Church and said, please help me. The bishop has sent some priest who he's given permission to do the rite of exorcism. So in that sense, that person has given authority to the bishop over themselves. Now, the bishop, note, this is an interesting theological point. The bishop already has spiritual authority over everybody in his diocese.
Right.
Catholic, Christian. Non-Christian, non-baptized. He is a shepherd of souls of everybody in his territory. So in that sense, the bishop has a particular special authority mm-hmm. to give commands over that body, to whatever's bothering that body. And that's why when he gives that permission to his priest, he's kind of formally backing up that priest with his authority.
Okay. So real quickly, just to sum this up, and we're getting more questions coming in. By the way, Valerie from Louisiana, you were going to be next and you dropped off. Please, Valerie, call back if you have a question or a comment that you want to share with us, because you were going to be next. So Valerie from Louisiana, if you're listening, call us back. So real quickly, Adam, so for our Protestant brothers and sisters and evangelicals that are listening right now, if they go into a building that to do a Bible study or a prayer service, and they're sensing that there's evil spirits, that they start commanding the evil spirits to go away and things of that nature. What you're saying, if I just want to be clear, that they possibly are opening themselves up for some conflict with the demons, because that's kind of like a challenge to the demons, right? Is that how we are to understand it?
Yeah. So of course this is a huge topic, Deb, and I've been, you know, I've spoken at major Protestant conferences in the country and try to share with each other as best we can. Kind of the bottom line is, and I'm not being flippant in summing it up this way, mm-hmm. the Protestant approach, which is usually a sola scriptura approach, right? The believer in the scripture, the Absolutely. Baptized person in the scripture,
right.
That works up to a point. But when you come across a truly fully possessed person, where there's absolutely a demon there, for sure, because you've seen this, it's doing things that you cannot explain away, and you're like, okay, there's definitely a demon there. Mm-hmm. That approach, from what I understand, and I've heard from Protestant ministers that have ministries and they've come across a fully possessed person, that approach doesn't work. That's what I've been told, and I've never heard of a success story. Now, if you feel that maybe there's something bad there, that may or may not be imagination, that may or may not be, you know, true, mm-hmm. because you've seen no true overt evidence of it. Okay. And so if you give a command and there's nothing there to begin with, nothing's going to happen. But a truly demonically infested place, mm-hmm. there's going to be all kinds of manifestations and a history of terrible things happening there.
Got it.
You generally you're not walking into places like that to do a conference.
Right. So just to be clear, would it be safer for all of us if you felt like a negative spirit or something negative that's mm-hmm. kind of heavy in the room or the place or the prayers, you know, place, would it be safer for a person to say, you know, please Jesus, if there's anything here, please remove it. So bring it to Jesus and let Jesus take care of it.
This is the really simple solution that takes away all these worries and concerns and debates about who can do what when. This debate, Deb, is not going to end. It's not going to end within the Catholic Church. It's not going to end in the Protestant world. It's never going to end. It comes up at every conference, every discussion. Mm-hmm. But the safe thing to avoid all of the consternation and the arguments back and forth, and I'm citing this scripture and that scripture, two things. One, I'm sharing information from full-blown possession cases where there's no doubt there's a demon there, and you can see the response viscerally, mm-hmm. physically in front of you. If you don't have the bishop's backing, they don't obey the commands. Number two, I'm sharing advice about something that puts Jesus at the center of the prayer. Mm-hmm. He's ultimately the one doing it anyway. It's a healthier prayer life to acknowledge his sovereignty over everything, you, Amen. This creature, this place, and give him the honor in the sense of, Jesus, I know you're Lord of everything. Would you please make, you know, if there's something bad here, would you please make it go away? Because the other route, when it's me giving the commands and there's people around me, mm-hmm. they can start misunderstanding the situation and say, oh, he's the one with the special
gift. With the authority. Exactly.
I need to go to him.
Exactly.
I can't go to this person over here.
Right.
And it becomes a form of idolatry. And then it becomes a cult of kind of personality or centered around purported miracles. Mm-hmm. That's very dangerous. We want to keep Jesus at the center of our Perfect. Lives and our prayers.
Thank you for clearing that up. We over the break, we got an abundance of messages coming in saying, so we're going to do a whole entire episode on this, maybe in September, October. But, you know, there's a lot we've got to cover. And I'm so glad, Adam, when our Spirit World listeners accept the invitation to call back when they dropped off accidentally. Mm-hmm. So Valerie, Tim, please properly introduce Valerie. She called back. Thank you, Valerie.
Okay, we've got Valerie from Noble, Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM Radio. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Valerie. Thanks for calling back. You go right ahead.
Yes, so I experienced a spirit floating over a tree stump in my yard about 2.5 years ago, and I couldn't see all the face, but I'm guessing it was a female spirit. It had really long black hair and a long white gown with long sleeves, and it was floating over the tree stump whenever I went to back out of my yard, and I was just wondering. I had asked my priest about it, and he said that it was most likely or could have been a traveling spirit, but having never witnessed anything like it, I just wanted to see what your take of it was, to try to mm-hmm. determine exactly what kind of spirit it was. It didn't have wings or anything, but the gown was white.
Okay, Valerie.
But hold on 1 second there. Valerie, I just want to make sure you said it was a floating spirit because we sounds like maybe you're traveling in a car. So you, a floating spirit,
yes,
you
I
can.
Am.
Okay, yeah. And safe travels, Valerie. Be careful. So it's a floating spirit, long dark hair, white garment. Okay, Valerie, we're going to put you on hold because we're ready to hit the pause button here for our final break for today. And so I want you to, I'm going to leave everybody in suspense, Adam. You can answer when you come back, Adam, which would be great. Valerie, please be listening to Adam's answer. You hear that music? Tim is right on cue. He's awesome. We're going to get to all the other callers like Cheryl, Kathy, Brian, Camille, and Carolyn, and the others calling in. This is why we have two call screeners, you guys. You are lighting up the phone lines. I say it all the time. It looks like a Christmas tree in August. I love it. So when we come back, more of your calls and the answers to your questions. Valerie's answer will be coming up next. Please, if you want to dial in, 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be right back.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, so I'm just going to share this because you guys know me, I think, well enough. I am just blown away at the responses that we are getting and the comments and the questions. You guys are lighting up the phone lines, the chats. You're sending messages in. This is incredible. We're going to have to move very quickly. We're going to try to get to all the callers. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask our call screening team to go to the chats and go to those that are waiting on deck, everybody that's waiting, and try to get as many of the questions so we can put it into the August mailbag. We're not going to get to everybody today, I can tell you that, but we're picking up all your questions like Super Gamer Catholic on YouTube, others that are coming in really strong, and you've got important questions to ask. But let's get back to Valerie's question and answer, Adam, because this is very important. She sees every time she's backing up, she sees it in her camera, and it's right there at near that tree stump.
Okay. I think she saw it once, but doesn't matter. So really important, Valerie. I'm going to run this down pretty quick. First off, there's no such thing as a traveling spirit. No disrespect to your priest, but that doesn't exist. All we have in terms of spiritual beings is we have holy angels, we have fallen angels, and we have human souls. Human souls are either in heaven, hell, or purgatory. They're in heaven, they're saints. They may appear to people, and that does happen, but that's to impart a blessing or a healing usually. The souls in purgatory, they're on an escalator slowly making their way to heaven. They're not going to be appearing to people except to ask for prayer, and they're specifically going to ask for prayer, and that usually happens in churches, convents, monasteries, with people that are equipped to pray for them well. That's the most common place we see those. The final one would be souls in hell. They stay in hell. So that's first off. So this thing didn't ask you for prayer. It didn't convey that either verbally or visually. It was just there.
Right. And real quick, does it frighten her? Does it frighten you when you, yeah.
And there was a detail that's critical, Valerie. Mm-hmm. You said you couldn't quite see the face, so mm-hmm. you were assuming that it was a female. I've seen this, I've seen this hundreds of times over the years. When demons are masquerading as a human, the face is either hidden or there's a deformation. Very often their eyes are hidden, because it seems that they either cannot form a perfect human being counterfeit, or they don't want to. They do hate us because we're created in the image of God, and I think they're incapable of making something that truly is in the image of God. Now, you said its face was hidden. That's a big red flag for me. Secondly, It's not petitioning for prayer. I don't think it's anything good. Now, basically, if nothing else happens, I would say let it go. But I would take some holy water home from your church, sprinkle it on that stump. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just say to Jesus in your own words, Lord, I don't want any part of any deceptive spirits or any scary spirits. I only want you in my life. Please, anything else, take it away. And right. Sprinkle that area with holy water.
I agree. Valerie, real quickly, I'm just curious. Does it shock you? And how many times have you seen it?
Only the one time. And yes, it really does. It did shock me at the time.
Okay.
But I have since moved from the location, and mm-hmm. I do have holy water and stuff in my home. So.
Okay. Okay. So one time you have moved, and I agree with you, Adam. And as a matter of fact, this was a similar situation that happened to a neighbor of mine years ago. It's almost identical. And she actually did the holy water. She did the blessed salt. She actually buried a miraculous medal, and it was gone. So she never felt it or saw it again. And so. Wow. What do you say about the fact that, you know, Valerie moved? So could that spirit still be in that place, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, if it's manifesting there, that means somebody along the line that had authority over that place invited it there, or there's an object there it's connected to.
Gotcha. Okay. Valerie, I hope that helps today, but be at peace, okay?
I will try.
Okay. Thank you so much. Adam, you know, that's interesting. You talk about the face. We'll have to get into another episode of that, because in the study that I've done on angels, I know what you're saying about being a red flag, but I've also heard stories from people that have had, encounters with their particular guardian angel during certain situations. And there was a similar situation of not being able to see their face, but it was a pleasant experience. It wasn't this kind of a scary encounter. So we'll have to do that on a future show, but let's make a note of that. Tim's making a note of it right now. He's so good at that. Okay, Tim, our next caller, please.
We've got Cheryl from on the road in Maryland, really, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM. Cheryl, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Cheryl. Go right ahead. Yes.
Okay. My concern is my father passed away maybe 10 years ago. My daughter-in-law has gone to see mystics and mediums, and he always appears to her and says things that only he would know or family would know. I mentioned it to a priest, and he told me that means he's not at rest. So he's been saying masses for him, and we've been praying. I was with my daughter, my son-in-law and daughter this week, and I said, does he still appear? And they said, all the time. All the time. They feel his presence. And
Cheryl, I'm only going to stop you because we get this comment and question all the time. And we are trying so hard to be clear. And now I believe in my heart of hearts that, Cheryl, your call is going to make it clear to everyone. Adam, I am begging you to be crystal clear on what happens when somebody visits a psychic about their deceased loved one. So, Cheryl, listen for this answer. And then everyone who's listening, stop what you're doing and listen closely to Adam Bly.
Okay, Cheryl. So from a biblical perspective, there's no way that's your father. And here's why. In the Bible, the word necromancy very specifically means calling up the dead to talk to them. The Bible consistently describes necromancy as being abhorrent to God, and that he will turn his face away from you. It will break your relationship in terms of being in a state of grace with God. It's described as an abomination, etc. So psychics and mediums that claim to connect you with the dead are doing something the Bible says is a horrible sin in God's eyes. Just because the spirit said something that is specific to your family, that, oh my gosh, there's no way the psychic knew that. That's, you know, that's the nickname he called me when I was little. Whatever it was, that's a demon feeding information, because they watch us our whole lives. Don't freak out. They're like bacteria. They're just around. They tempt us and watch us. They know those details. And they use them to get people to drop their guard and think this is, compelling, and come back to the mystic and the psychic over and over. So once that relationship is established with that spirit by the psychic medium, that spirit is now attached to that person who invited that relationship, and that's why it's now appearing in the home or at other places, not at the psychics. This is a deception, mm-hmm. and they need to reject it. If they're Catholic, they need to go to confession and confess, turning to spiritualism for, you know, their spiritual needs and turning to these deceptive spirits. They need to confess it. And mm-hmm. if this thing appears again, they need to mm-hmm. say, I want no part of you.
Right. And one other thing, just to say, to affirm what the priest told you, we should always pray for our departed loved ones, mm-hmm. the souls in purgatory. So praying for your dad is a positive, wonderful, great thing to do as a Christian, and we should continue to do that, but not in this connection that they're having with your father, that they're constantly connecting with him. This is so dangerous, and I feel bad mm-hmm. that you got that kind of direction, or they got that kind of direction from a priest. A lot of clergy are not up on this. You have to understand this. This is why we are doing this show, is to have this solid catechesis. Cheryl, your comments.
So he is at peace, as far as we know. He is where he's supposed to be.
Yeah. We don't have any.
Okay.
That's not evidence of anything about your dad. That is merely a spirit pretending to be your dad.
Okay. Now, my son is a lapsed Catholic. His whole family, they don't believe, period, which is so, breaks my heart. When I was there just this past week, I sprinkled holy water in their boys' bedrooms because they have their girlfriends up all the time. But I should have done the whole house, shouldn't I? But, well, I don't know. Well, go ahead.
Well, hold on a second, because Adam, talk about that. I mean, she really doesn't have authority over that. That's her. That's right. Her children, and really, a priest should be involved in that to bless the house if you really want that to take place. But Cheryl, I just want to get back to this. If you could encourage them to stop, wouldn't you say, Adam, to stop this connection with your deceased dad? This is very dangerous, and I know that the demons are putting all these symbols and signs in front of them, saying, "Oh, but only dad can know this. Only dad knows these conversations. Only dad knows this." I get it, Cheryl. We deal with it all the time. Yeah. People are writing in like crazy, telling us that they have had connection with their deceased loved ones because they only know intimate details about them. Adam, you really want to make this clear that this is a very dangerous practice to connect with the dead like that.
Oh, absolutely. And Cheryl, we see the demons doing this in exorcisms pretty regularly. They don't do it every week, but we see them trying to discourage the people that are there to help this person. If they have a sin that isn't confessed, they will broadcast that sin to the whole room in detail, even if you were there alone, you know, and nobody mm-hmm. witnessed anything. They will demonstrate that basically they are around, and they keep these things, they keep tabs on these things. Now, the beautiful thing, if you have access to the sacrament of reconciliation, once a sin is confessed, mm-hmm. it's off the table, and they cease to mm-hmm. accuse about those things. But yes, absolutely, just encourage them, maybe share this episode with them so they can hear the truth about that spirit.
Absolutely. Okay. Cheryl, thank you so much. We're going to have to let you go. We're trying to get to every
thank
single
you.
Caller. Thank you. Call us again, please. Okay, Tim, where are we going next?
Let's see. Our next one is going to be Kathy on line 4. Kathy, who is listening on Billings Catholic Radio in Billings, Montana. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi. I want to ask about, how do you discern the difference between your own thoughts and Satan or evil spirits trying to put thoughts in your head? Because I feel like I'm being harassed at times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kathy.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But hold on one second before Adam answers. Kathy, are you a practicing Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, good. So the sacraments is definitely where you want to go. Adam, go right ahead.
Well, mm-hmm. And Kathy, can I ask, do you have a background of mental illness or schizophrenia?
No, but I do have depression. You know, my mom had depression, and Mm-hmm. You know, I've gone to many counselors and Protestants too, but at this time I'm just praying and relying on God's healing. And I'm doing better over the years, but it's still, I don't know if it's unresolved issues with, unforgiveness or whatever, that can invite things like that.
Okay. So there's no 100% simple, easy way to figure out the difference between the two. Some of the hallmarks of things, thoughts that come from the enemy is kind of consistently tearing the person down, belittling them, focusing on staying away from God, despairing of God's love, despairing of God's protection, and then honestly, words to suicide and encouraging the person to destroy themselves. Now, of course, people that are very depressed and have suicidality, of course, they're thinking about those things just sadly from the mental illness. The other thing between the enemy and just our imagination or our own thoughts is when it's coming from the enemy, instead of maybe being a temptation to go do something, it becomes this incredibly strong temptation that doesn't let up. So often when we resist things for a while, or we distract ourselves with something else, we can kind of move on and start doing other things that day. There can be this kind of really strong temptation that doesn't let up. That is sometimes from the enemy. It's not guaranteed going to be from the enemy. So, in your prayer life, just ask Jesus to help you, with your thoughts. And Kathy, one thing, if you're worrying about sin, just having a thought is not the same as committing that sin. So don't feel guilty if you're having negative or destructive thoughts that you're sinning, especially if you're not trying to pursue those thoughts. You know, if you're just sitting there and it pops into your head, whether it's your mental illness or the enemy, you weren't pursuing ruminating on that idea. It just popped in your head. That's not a sin, and you don't have to feel like, you're not in a state of grace and you're in a state of mortal sin or any of that. Sin is about when we take action. So try to be at peace with this. And I'm sorry I can't give you a simple solution.
Did you also share about holy water at nighttime, Adam? That is very powerful.
Yeah. So Kathy, if this includes having like intrusive, really bad nightmares, or you could actually try this. You could try this during the day too. Mm-hmm. Take some holy water, wet your palms, just damp. Mm-hmm. Rub your hands together. Close your eyes and pat your whole head down. Pat your face down, your ears, your whole head. I've used this.
Okay.
I've used this well more than 100 times over the years with people having demonic nightmares, and it stops them on a dime for that night. Now, you can do this also during the day, I don't see why not, and just ask for protection and blessing of your mind and your thoughts.
Right. Okay,
I can get that at the holy water from the priest.
At the church,
At the church. They have the holy water fonts there. Yeah. Yeah. Kathy,
I just want to say quick, sometimes it is at night, where I can't go to sleep and there's some harassing thoughts where they could be sexual too, that are against me, and I just don't know where it comes from. But
So then definitely give that holy water a try, and that'll give you some data about, if there's absolutely no change in those thoughts as you're trying to go to sleep, it's likely it's not spiritual. But if you do that holy water thing that we described, you will see a dramatic decrease, or it'll stop altogether if it's from evil spirits.
Right. Okay, Kathy,
thank you
so much. Call us again, please. I know we have a lot of first-time callers. Our call screeners are checking to make sure they're first-time callers so we can recognize that beautiful first call to us. We're going to go to our next caller, but I just wanted to share real quickly that for our listeners, in the archive section of GRN Online, I just want to make sure, Tim, I have it correct. On the archive section, you can go back and actually listen to the grnonline.com. You can listen to the episode that won us the Gabriel Award. It was Praying for the Dead. And so we talked for a few episodes, actually, on praying for the souls in purgatory. So it's so important, you guys. We got to get this catechesis correct. We have to be well-formed in this area, or otherwise we're going to get led astray by people who claim that they are psychics and mediums. So we've got to be very careful on this. Let's go to our next caller, please, Tim.
Camille in Alpha, Minnesota, listening on EWTN Sirius XM. Camille, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hello, Camille. Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam. Gosh, thanks for the show. I'm actually a second-time caller, but the first time you guys didn't have time, so I was waiting. But I used my last name because it was the anger and alcohol one, and I was calling about my brother. So,
right.
Anyway, I was curious, and the last two calls have been really pertinent, use of holy water and also use of bells.
Mm-hmm.
We have a blessed bell. I don't know that much about it. I've, over the years, just heard you can ring a bell because the demons don't like the sound of bells, but you need to have a window open.
No.
Okay. I know. It's super
precious. No, it's okay. So here's where that comes from. In the church, there is a blessing for church bells, and that blessing the blessing for church bells asks God to make the sound of that bell drive the demons away from the parish so that the people are not distracted when it's time to come to church or during Mass.
Okay.
So the blessing asks God to give it that property, that it basically kind of drive demons away. Now, a priest might do that blessing on a little hand bell that you keep at home. We actually have used those once in a while over the years in exorcisms because we had a bell handy that had been blessed in this way. And I can tell you when it is rung, you know, it annoys the demon, it gives them consternation during the exorcism. It is a sacramental, meaning it's a blessed item that helps prepare us for the sacraments. That's the technical theological thing about it. Just like holy water, just like blessed salt, a blessed bell, only when it's blessed. And I would say probably more so if you did the actual blessing that asked God to make it kind of a weapon against the enemy. Just a regular bell that's not blessed, they don't care. That's just a bell.
Okay.
It's just another thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I do have, my mother was given a handbell a long time ago, and she was Latin, traditional Latin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did a blessing of handbells at the church, and one of my mom's friends took the bell and had it blessed in the name of St. Gerard. Gerard was my father's name, and so that bell has been blessed and mm-hmm. engraved with St. Gerard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a good thing, you know, use it.
It's a sacramental, correct?
Yeah, okay. It's a sacramental, and just like all sacramentals, it doesn't mean that it'll instantly make, you know, demons 100% flee the area. It just drives them a little batty, it causes them pain, and think of it kind of like the ultrasonic thing that you buy and put in your house. It's supposed to keep mice away, right? It's an annoying thing that hopefully, you know, drives them off. But don't think of it as like a magical talisman that 100%, you know, does this.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I don't want to overuse it either because I don't want to just annoy them. I don't know. But anyway, I just didn't know, any differences. So thank you. And it's okay to... I've heard about, you know, blessing your yard with the holy water, you know, going around the perimeter and, Well,
absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Camille. We appreciate the call and you stuck with us the majority of the show. So Camille, you should get a virtual award for that one. So thank you so much. Call us again. Okay. So we're going to cut this way too close. I don't even want to attempt to do it. So I'm going to ask the show team, Brian, I'm so sorry from Steubenville, Ohio, listening on GRN online, YouTube. We'll get your comment. He was talking about light orbs and is it evil? And I just want to state real quickly, that's a big thing right now, Adam. You're seeing that a lot on a lot of these shows that you can watch on the paranormal and things of that nature, of these light orbs. You know, oftentimes it is dust on the camera when they've determined it, and all sorts of things. But we're gonna address that in the mailbag show, Brian. We will definitely tackle that one. Joseph and the others that are calling in, please, we'll have the show team pick up your calls and get your comments. And Carolyn, who's a first-time caller from Boston, Massachusetts. Carolyn, okay, I'm going to take a chance. It's Station of the Cross. You're listening. Can you do this in 20 seconds? Tell us the follow-up to Joey's call, please, real quickly.
Yes, real quickly. Unbound Ministries. I want to know if it's a good ministry or a not good ministry.
Okay, Carolyn, I'll let Adam comment. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Call us again. Go ahead, Adam.
It is a good ministry if it's done exactly as designed. So when it comes to the point of giving the command to the demons, have the person give that command that the demon depart themselves, as opposed to the minister giving commands to the demon to leave that person. And the minister usually is another lay person. So it is wonderful for the examination of conscience, but people tend to kind of misuse it a little bit. So again, have the person give the command for the demon to leave themselves. And if you do that, it's wonderful. Everything's good.
Okay. Hope that helps, Carolyn. If you have any more comments on that, tell our show team. Everybody's on the phones right now talking to people. So this is great. Okay. There goes the music. Adam, what an amazing show. You can hear the intensity of the calls and our responses. We were trying to go so fast, racing against the clock. And guys, I have to be the bearer of bad news again. No, we cannot do another second hour. So I'm so sorry. This is it. We get to pack this all in one very brief hour on Saturdays, and we're very grateful to do that. Thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network for producing this show. Thank you to the wonderful show team today, our senior producer Tim Mott, Anna, and Carol on the phones. You were amazing. And thank you to EWTN for broadcasting it all over the world. Okay, now share this episode with friends and family members. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.